Hey everybody, and welcome to your Thursday, May 10th Jumpcast, the only manga podcast that decided by 2-1 vote to ban yaoi. I'm your host Imran Khan, and with me this week is Greg Jan and Mike Lemieux. What's up, guys?
Gentlemen.
Hello.
So, Greg, you wanted to talk to us about Nora before we started anything.
Yeah, I figure we can put this in at the beginning because I'm assuming that the newer stuff ends up not being as good because it's been kind of down in the bottom for the voting the past couple weeks. So we'll see how whether it manages to stick around. But
actually in last place.
Yeah, I just finished, I guess you could say, the equivalent of the Soul Society arc of this series. It's turned much more into a straight up fighting manga over the course of it. But there's a couple things about it that were really well done that I think might be worth getting people to take a look at. There will be some minor spoilers that would be kind of the equivalent of explaining what a Shikai and Bankai are for Bleach, for example.
So power-ups, kind of?
Yeah, that sort of thing, which, like I said, they're interesting. Now, for most series, you know how, like, Dragon Ball Z had Ki, and Naruto had Chakra, and Bleach has Raiatsu, or whatever, whatever you want to call it, for their, like, power. Now, because these are spirits, and the idea is that these are, you know, evil spirits that consume people's fear, they just use the word fear for their terms of power. But as it goes on, it gets into kind of, like, sort of cloaking yourself in fear. And when they do that power-up thing, the artwork changes. So it becomes almost more like a calligraphy style where there's like – it looks like paintbrushes like going across the page and that sort of thing. And it's really well done.
That explains,
and I'm going to provide you get – sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say like the only page I've seen of that, it looked like a Tsukio Ue painting, like just very nicely like old Japanese style. And then you showed me some pages and it looked totally different and I was kind of confused. I thought I had just seen the wrong manga.
Yeah, no, like I'm going to post up a link so both you guys can comment on this page where this is one of the things which I'm about to get into. And you can see how it has that kind of like neat art style as he's utilizing his fear, if you will. And then if you go to the next page, you can see it a little bit more where there's kind of a combination of the two styles. And then it'll go back to the normal one while they're actually fighting. But it's just this thing that happens, which honestly, I kind of want to go and watch the anime just to see how they manage to do this in animated style.
It kind of reminds me of size stuff from Naruto.
Yeah, thinking that too. Before they cut the budget on that and it started looking really awful.
Yeah, it stays at this quality throughout. But anyway, then so you can consider this to be kind of the Shikai release, if you will. And, you know, each individual one has their own thing. So, you know, the main one is kind of powers of illusion or that sort of thing. And then there's people who are like poison or ice or various other powers, if you will. But you know how in Naruto, one of the central themes is the entire concept of I am stronger because there's all of these other people supporting me. But it's kind of in an indirect way. It's kind of a I must push myself to be better because these other people are depending on me versus them actually directly supporting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the course of this series, because he's kind of the master of his clan, for ones that he has a direct relation with, if you will, it turns out that this is kind of the human aspect because he is a he's not fully a demon. So the demon powers are they can just only use their own and they are incredibly strong in trying to defeat one another, but the concept of working together is kind of a humanity thing in the course of the series. And so his father, who was the first half-breed, had developed a way where he could cloak himself in the fear of his underlings and it becomes kind of a greater than the sum of its parts sort of thing.
So is this mostly like a battle manga or
it's transformed into that at this point. It started out a little bit more, and then it's like I said, for the past I'd probably say 70-80 chapters, I'm at 140 something at this point. It's been pretty much straight up that, and then they finished a giant arc, which there is some stuff in it that is incredibly derivative of some other stuff, like blatantly ripped off. One scene in particular is just completely ripped off Bleach. And then it's kind of gone off and has been dabbling around in some other stuff the past couple chapters, and honestly, I'm not finding those nearly as interesting. It does the fighting very well. But I find the concept of utilizing a subordinate's powers to augment your own and become something stronger is really smart for this sort of battle manga, because one of the problems with Bleach and Naruto and everything else is they have their powers, they utilize their powers, and then it gets boring because every fight is utilizing the same powers. And this allows for almost infinite variety. Like, over the course of this arc, he does it with like four or five different people, depending on the type of battle, what person that he's fighting, to be able to exploit a weakness or something like that. And it was really creatively done, and I enjoyed that aspect a great deal while I was reading this.
So how far are you in relative to how much of this manga there is?
Roughly 3/4 of the way through.
It's holding up quality-wise?
Well, like I said, I just finished the major arc, and it was really good up with the quality up through that thing, and then basically kind of going on with the concept of his strength is based off of his underlings. It's actually kind of following some of the other demons as they're trying to kind of establish their own turf, if you will, where they can generate their own fear from humans and that sort of stuff that they can utilize to make themselves stronger. And it's not as interesting because at this point it feels kind of not tied to anything major in terms of the course of the main story. I don't want to get into spoilers, obviously, in case people want to read it, but I've been enjoying it.
Yeah, I've been clicking through kind of the next couple chapters, and this actually looks really good.
Yeah, well, like the artwork in it's fantastic.
Yeah,
And
that's
I,
why I'm admiring the character designs,
yeah.
actually.
Does this have an anime or is it just manga?
It has the way that it's been done is there have been two seasons of an anime. Each one is 26 episodes, and they've aired from July until December. So it's kind of like it was half a year and then off for half of a year, then another half a year. And I don't know if it's been renewed for a third season right now. From just judging from the names of the episodes and that sort of stuff, I think that the second season of the anime goes through the portion that I had just finished reading.
Design-wise, it kind of reminds me of Kenshin.
I would agree with that. It's a lot busier than Kenshin, but
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, I'm just comparing the two manga right now, and they look really sort of similar, the ink stuff aside. But I
Would it
mean,
actually kind of
just to
remind?
put in perspective with how much it's been a fighting manga, like, you don't even see the human child style of the character for like 60, 70 chapters straight.
Yeah, it's
And
actually.
whereas early in the series, it was kind of like, the very Bleach-esque, having the school kid who has the special powers living a dual life sort of thing. And then how in Soul Society it was just kind of the Shinigami the entire time. It was very much like that, where he was in a situation where he was constantly in the demon form.
What was it you're saying, Mike?
I was just going to say, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Kakashi, if you guys have read any of that.
I have not.
Or seen it. Just, I don't know, something about the character designs, just even especially the monster designs, kind of a little reminiscent of that. But that's also kind of based on the same, feudal monsters kind of
Yeah, and
stuff.
actually, a lot of these, I don't know how accurate a lot of these are, but a number of the demons are based off, like, they're supposedly based off of actual Japanese
Yokai and
mythology, where
Oni.
they have, like, a special, like, half of a chapter devoted to what their legend is, sort of thing, where they
Yeah.
describe what happened that caused them to become a demon.
There
So,
are lots of monsters in Japanese mythology, so
yeah.
it's
So,
ripe for.
it's ripe for abuse.
Well,
I was gonna say inspiration, not abuse, but
yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so I definitely plowed through a fair portion of that in the past week because I basically hit its stride and it was very interesting to me. And I mean, I don't know whether this is, going to suddenly drop off in quality and that's why the voting has been low and it's going to be on the axe. I do know that there's a video game coming out soon. But yeah.
I
It's worth a look if you want to see a fighting manga.
might actually start reading this instead of Toriko.
Not that
It's a
you
pretty
actually
interesting.
started reading Toriko.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll give it a shot. We'll look into it.
I have
It's
no answer for not reading Toriko.
Well, I didn't read much more Sket Dan, so I think we're even on that.
So only one of these has really gripped us enough to
it's not that,
Tough
like,
to do it.
it's just that getting through those first couple of chapters of manga is always kind of difficult, because that
Yeah,
first
because
one
it's
shot's
always
always
trying
going
to
to be.
find its voice and trying to, balance being able to have a long-term story versus grabbing people in so you can, actually get the votes to stick around for a while.
Like, if I had to probably read through Naruto now, those first couple chapters would be pretty boring.
Yep.
Speaking of boring, Bleach something something? I mean, did anything actually happen this week?
I will say this chapter reminded me because I had genuinely forgotten that Quincy's absorb their spirit energy from the environment around them.
They
spirit
That
bomb.
that was something I had completely forgotten about,
That
which this chapter kind of drove home.
happened once in Soul Society and like never again.
Well, no, they talked about how normally they just get it from the air or something like that. And so then it was only when Ishida was in his, super powered up form
Yeah, the
that,
time that he had to defeat Frieza, so he held his hands up and waited for everything to give him power.
Except
Kind
he's
of,
getting
yes.
instead of life forms, he's getting his powers from rocks and sand.
But yeah, so Nazi guy grew wings and talked a lot.
And
They fought, and Ichigo wasn't able to cut him, even though he did a point black blank Getsuga Tensho.
yeah, so pretty much what we expected, I guess. I thought he might be fodder, but I mean, if it's gonna go the other way, it's gonna,
Well, no, I don't think he's going to be fodder. I think that this is going to be. My expectation is okay. So just to continue with talking about the chapter, it's revealed that those three Arrancar have their giant demon thing that we had talked about previously. Which, just as a note, Imran, this thing required Yamamoto stepping in to take it out
Okay,
previously.
that's right. That's who beat it.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember the
Like
guy.
it basically kicked the butts of like six or seven different lieutenants, almost killing people, and then he was the only captain who bothered to step in, so I think the assumption is any of the captains probably could have beaten it. But yeah, it was kicking some ass there for a while.
Like, it just sort of showed up, and I've said before, I skipped Hueco Mundo, so the panel or page where it shows up, I'm like, Chopper?
Yeah. I didn't even think about that until you mentioned it, but now that's all I can see.
It's the reindeer antlers. He looks like a gritty reboot of Rudolph.
So, with all these, like with this thing just popping up again and like with no explanation, do you think since this is the last arc, he's not even attempting to get new readers? He's just assuming that what he has is all he has left. So
I think for the most
why
part.
explain it?
But well, I think that it's just it. This is going to be a convenient thing to, measure this underling's power against. I think that he is going to take out this thing. Ichigo is going to go Bankai. They're going to revisit that entire. They're supposed to be able to absorb Bankai, but Ichigo's can't be. Ichigo is going to beat him, and he's going to say something about how Bankais are absorbed. That's where I think that this is going. I think that this is going to be an exposition fight to both gauge the power of this underling character versus some established stuff, and we're going to find out what the hell is going on.
I'm guessing
So
as he's dying, he's going to do that whole "you're too late, you can't stop the invasion now" sort of thing.
yeah, just like laughing in defeat, saying he's accomplished what he wanted to, blah de blah de blah, we win anyway.
Yeah, I can definitely see that happening too.
So, one thing that kind of bugs me about these types of chapters now is that you're right, Ichigo hasn't gone Bankai. So, like, no surprise he can't hurt this guy. I don't know, it's just there was a point in Dragon Ball Z where Goku was just Super Saiyan normally, and it seems like that's where Bleach should be right now, but they still waste time.
Well, I think that it's not only that, but it's, and this has been a problem with Bleach throughout the entire thing, is that because his sword was always in its release form from the outset, it always seemed like he has to be one consecutive step up from the enemies, because he never has it as a regular sword before releasing.
I feel like this fight should have ended this chapter. The fact that it's continuing to go on is kind of losing my interest more.
I agree.
Because he's already transformed, and now he's beating down Ichigo, and now something new is being introduced.
Which punched him in the face and broke his glasses.
Yes, he has creepy bug eyes.
Yeah, so it's not eyelashes. I was right. He did get the Rinnegan.
But
But yeah, I kind of don't care. Like, ultimately, this is not part of the main plot of this arc.
Oh, you don't think the very first person that the main character fights has any. Let's see. I'm trying to think back to the past arcs of the first person that got, like, the show of power.
Ikkaku.
Yeah, Ikkaku, who
He didn't
ran
fight
from
it.
the
He
game.
fought the guard guy first.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Which guard guy?
Jidenbo or whatever it is.
The giant who stood at the gate.
Did they? I thought.
Because remember, he got
No.
kicked out by Ichimaru
Oh,
first.
yeah.
Yeah. So they started running in. Or no, that was actually after, because Ichimaru cuts through the giant too. Remember, he
Yeah,
cuts
well,
off his arm.
I mean, once they're actually in Soul Society after the whole fireworks thing.
I thought
Yeah.
Ichigo cut off his arm.
No. Or was it? I'm trying to remember. Is Jidenbo is the name of the
Yeah,
guy.
but I think Ichimaru did it because everyone freaked out when his arm got cut off and Orihime like immediately healed him. So I don't think Ichigo would have done that.
Yeah.
He opened the gate after Ichigo beat him, and then the group is stopped by Jin Ichimaru, who severed Jinbo's left arm and closed the gate.
So yeah, he was the first fight.
And then I honestly can't remember any of them from then on. Except that, like, Okiora was, like, the first one in.
They bring him back in the anime, and then also I guess they had all four of the gatekeepers at that one final scene before Aizen leaves for Hoikamondo.
Did he
But
fight Uchimaru? Or what was his name? The guy with the peacock hair.
Yumichika?
Yeah, Ikaku's friend.
What's his face?
No,
Ugly guy.
Ichigo never fights him.
God, I can't remember his name.
Remember something got a bomb, that's all.
Yeah, that dude, ugly guy who seemed like he was going to be a major character
Oh
and
right,
then
yeah. What's his
And he rode on
brother's brother?
pigs and then became like fodder for filler. Do you think he's
And
gonna come back this arc?
oh, hell no. He's gone.
They should bring him back. Just br they're focusing more on Hoikamondo than they are Soul Society, which I feel is a mistake.
Yeah, that's my main complaint is that we're seeing all of this fight and I kind of wanted to see more of the invasion that's going on now because that is the much more interesting story.
You don't want to see Ichigo fight what is essentially Prince.
I do kind of want to see that, but they're just not doing it
I
right. Wouldn't that be great if like just Prince was in here? Like,
Just the actual person,
yeah,
not
no.
somebody based off him, the actual guy.
And like no explanation or nobody really questions it, but it's just like Prince is a Quincy.
Doesn't Billy
He's
Bat do that
a Princey.
occasionally?
Oh yeah. Like, well, that's more that historical figures are all in on this big conspiracy.
And or might be magic.
Yes, and are using magic, like a magic devil bat is talking to them and telling Einstein what the speed of light is.
Well, somebody had to.
Yeah.
So, any more thoughts on Bleach?
Just that next week, yeah, the monster's gonna die next week, and then Ichigo's gonna go Bankai, and that'll be it.
I will be disappointed if like the monster dies and she goes Bankai and that's the last page of that chapter.
That seems entirely possible, given this is Bleach. I'm going to hope not, though.
Bleach is
You don't.
turn-based. That bothers
The well,
me.
no. The other thing to keep in mind is, I realize that this doesn't always happen, but it's entirely possible that they're going to try and do some stuff to lead up to a dramatic reveal on the 500th chapter. Because we're at 491 right now. So it might be that that's when we finally get to see the invasion of Soul Society or something like that, is chapter 500. And they'll get like the
It's.
double size center feature inside of the thing, and it'll just be, utter chaos or something like that. I could see them pulling out the stops for that.
It seems like most of the time, though, we just get a color page that says, Yay, 500, and then you just get a regular chapter.
True.
And a character voting poll.
Man, I
When
haven't
was
seen a
the last
character
time?
voting poll in a long time.
Yeah, I've always
Like,
wanted. I was curious at the results of those sort of things,
they're always
so.
surprisingly low. It's always just like 3,000 votes for the number one guy.
Yeah. But, what's it called? The last real, like, major event that I can remember at a specific number is that I remember that chapter 100 of One Piece is when they entered the Grand Line.
So, judging by the pacing so far, how long do you think this arc is going to be?
3 years.
Yeah, a couple years.
Really? I can't imagine them letting him finish this or take past 2012.
If they tell him he's got one arc left, he's going to make that arc last as long as it can.
No, honestly, I'm going to guess that it's going to be, I don't know, maybe a year and a half for the whole thing.
I was actually serious with my guess. I think it's going to be a couple of years.
I feel like that they've told him it has to end soon, so it has to end this year.
I don't think it's going to end in 2012.
That's a good 6 months. I don't know. I don't see this going past this year.
For it to end this year, it's basically going to have to be Ichigo beats this guy, and then they go to Soul Society and start the final battle with the seven dudes that went there.
Is that necessarily totally... like impossible though?
No, that's
it's totally not impossible. It just seems not like Bleach, which is the point,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, for all intents and purposes, Kubo is being fired.
At least they're letting him finish it. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. But well, again, I mean, because it's been a pillar for so long.
I don't think they're going to let him take his time to finish it, though.
Yeah. Well, we don't know what, like, they might have just told him no arc after this one, but take as long as you need on this one. I don't know.
That's dangerous words if you're Kubo's editor.
Yeah. I guess if there's anyone you don't want to say take your time, it's Kubo.
Introduce, like, 50 more characters. It's fine. All right, so up next, Beelzebub.
Yay.
This was, I think, the only entertaining chapter this week.
I would say the best. I don't know if I'd say the only entertaining. There were a couple
most entertaining
portions of it, but yeah.
The most entertaining.
Oh, definitely.
The opening joke is one of my favorite in the series.
That they treat Furuichi like a stranger?
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. I was.
Who is this guy?
By page two, I was already laughing my ass off.
That Hilda tells Beelzebub not to stare at strangers. Even though Furuichi's wearing the high school outfit and, you know, they've known him for years.
Yes. Well, months.
Has it been how long has Beelzebub been going?
I think it's only, well, it's been going years, but I think timeline-wise, yeah. I think they've said it's been 6 months.
Ah. They've known him for a long time, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
for a decent amount of time.
He was one of the first two people they met.
Yes.
So Furuichi is staring longingly at the airport and then recounting what's happened the last couple of hours.
Yeah, it kind of does a flashback to the end of the last chapter. Or
yeah.
Picks up at the end of the last chapter.
So Oga beats Aiba, and Aiba admits defeat.
And he also admits that he was aware that he was getting the power from the...
A god, he calls it.
Yes.
And Aoi doesn't seem too mad at it, just that she's going to beat it up some more later.
Well, everything worked out. Oga beat Aiba.
Yeah.
Results. I don't think they meant surprising Quaver.
What?
There's a point where as Aiba said that, his voice held a surprising quaver, which technically it's an eighth note in music writing, so maybe.
But you're thinking maybe it was quivering over quavering?
Yeah, I think maybe a surprising quiver. That makes just as much sense.
I thought that quaver was the past tense form of quiver.
Wouldn't that be quivered?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
quivered. Or is that like when an arrow is in a sheath? Is it quivered?
Beelzebub.
Yeah, so anyway, after the fight, the opposing school is very nice to all the Saint Tishiyama people now. Like, to the
very
point where
nice.
They're beating up random passerbys for getting in their way.
Well, they got orders from Aiba.
Super embarrassed.
It's in the Toho Shinki are being treated like gods.
Well, which was pretty great. I feel like that's important that their reputation has been restored.
Yeah.
Futaba
is, gets a personal vacation only horse.
Which I'm pretty sure is the guy that was dangling her over the ledge the night before. Pretty sure that's the same guy.
It's great because everyone's treating it totally normally.
I did like the gag where Nene thinks that they're coming to talk to Aoi, but they're all really coming to talk to her. I enjoyed that gag.
Well, she's the leader of the Red Tails.
Yes. Extremely elegant.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
One more Chinsuko joke.
Oh, yes. The final gift shop that Tojo goes by.
Tojo, I think, has had the best arc since he's been introduced.
He's had the best He's had the best character development in this arc. Just becoming like the pop-in joke guy.
When he was introduced, it seemed like he should have been the main character. It just that the manga follows Oga.
Yeah, and God, his development since then has just been amazing. I mean, look at him now compared to like when he first was the badass.
Well, he's taken Furuichi's job as the guy who occasionally pops in with jokes.
For this arc.
Hopefully, in general. Because I like the way this works with Furuichi. I wouldn't mind if this continued the entire time.
I could see that getting a little old eventually. I'm kind of hoping that that's just a thing for this vacation, and then like they'll come back and go, hey, where were you? We had a great time.
Well, he got a creepy sort of acknowledgement towards the end.
Yeah.
Okay, so the best thing about this chapter actually is...
the little Terminator joke?
No, I was going to say the two little girls fighting over Beale.
Yes, which happens after Aiba confesses his feelings and...
Yeah,
yeah.
Aoi.
And she basically says, yeah, I'm into somebody else, sorry.
So did you guys like the Bichio joke?
That's what makes this the best part of the issue.
It actually took me a second to get. I was like, Bichio? Oh.
Futaba has
I'm wondering how that worked in the Japanese.
Well, they have the word bitch there. So I wouldn't be surprised if it was just, you know, a commonly accepted pun.
Foreign slang.
Yeah.
Also, Paco has apparently become Futaba's servant, which is excellent. That she just yells Paco and she jumps out.
And they have the three of them take a picture. Yeah.
And then they get one of the Saint Ishiyama dudes who did not show up at all this arc.
He was the boxer. He was at the aquarium briefly, wasn't he?
Was he?
Like, maybe for a panel or two. Well,
didn't they make a joke at the start about the Saint Ishiyama people saying, like, it's their time to shine? And then they just didn't show up at all until the very end.
Well, he was also on a plane, too.
Well, I mean, they were all there. They just never were involved with anything.
But there's so many wonderful things about the photo.
I like how the teacher is, for some reason, posing with the red tails.
Yeah.
Yep, and got his arms around the girls. Furuichi, you know, jumping in to make sure he's in the picture.
Elon Dale sitting beneath them.
Kanzaki flipping off the camera.
Yep.
Natsume covering it up.
Oga apparently not realizing there's a picture.
Yeah, Oga and Hilda just kind of sitting there.
And Aiba there for some reason.
Oh, he's their best friend now.
But
he's totally just going to start randomly being in the area whenever something goes down for some inexplicable reason.
So it kind of ends with a weird joke that I don't get, which I'm sure must be a cultural thing. The souvenir that Furuichi got Lamia.
Yeah.
The willpower like Goya.
Yeah, so just like a melon that says willpower on it.
But she seems really excited and then... annoyed.
Well, she got a gift.
I think it's a crappy gift. Is that the joke? That it's just like this really crappy souvenir?
Maybe?
She seems bummed at the end. And also that person in the background who I don't recognize is also not thrilled with it.
That's his mother, I think, isn't it?
Maybe? I don't know much about Furuichi's family.
Yeah, I'm not sure who that is offhand either.
Probably his mom.
I guess if you give someone a bitter melon, it's just like, I put no thought into this.
Yeah.
It's a gift.
Not like Lamia would be hard to get a gift for. You just get her candy. She would have been happy with that.
And yeah, we have seen Furuichi's mother before, so it's probably her.
Because it's not his sister, because his sister is younger than him.
What did you guys think of this arc now that it's over?
It was a fun
diversion.
I think it
was a nice, entertaining one. I think that I'm ready to get back to the entire demon taking over the world story.
You think it's going to be N, or do you think there's going to be a new bad guy coming out?
I think Beale's father is going to try and take over the world himself.
I don't think it's going to jump straight to that quite yet.
Do you
there's
think
still three
it?
Other... I think that there's going to be either like another one of the generals or all of the remaining ones.
What about, like, another brother showing up?
He only said he sent N and Beale. So that doesn't preclude other brothers, but I don't think they're going to introduce another demon brother. at this point.
They're just going to randomly, continually introduce new ones because Beale's dad just gets around.
You don't know. Maybe he does.
There are an awful lot of wet nurses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think
but
I brought this up
I honestly
before.
Have no idea where the next chapter is going to end up
you
going.
You know what I want to get into more is remember when they went to the demon world to save Andelion's daughter?
Yeah.
And, like, there was that weird guy in a cloak that watched them? Do you remember that?
Vaguely. I thought that he was one of the subordinates of, what's his face? Behemoth.
Was he?
I thought he was one of Behemoth's subordinates. Maybe I'm forgetting something, but...
Well, but even Andelion's daughter, you know, get back into the demon world stuff. I think that'd be
pretty
cool.
I'd be perfectly happy with that.
They didn't really explore the whole being in demon world thing.
Like, they kind of aggressively did not explore it. Like, they were just kind of in and out.
Right. And Giant
Beale
was...
I think that was as much to try and make it that at their current power, you know, ability, they would have been dead in the water there.
Right, they just had to sneak in, do their thing, and sneak out.
But at this point, Oga is probably more powerful than anyone strong in Demon World.
You think?
He beat the leader of Behemoth.
Yeah, Jabberwocky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but... who's really stronger than the strongest people of the Black Ops team?
Oh, there's always someone stronger.
Yeah, there's the other generals. That was when he was using the crazy super milk time.
This is when we're gonna find out that there's more than one Demon King, and there's like warring armies.
So Yu Hakusho?
Yes.
Actually, no. Do you know what's gonna be introduced next? Heaven. They're
oh,
gonna
man.
Bring in angels.
Is it gonna be one of those things where like the angels are way bigger dicks than the demons?
I can see them trying to kill Beale.
Because he's the son of the devil.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes. That is totally the prediction that I'm sticking with now is that at some point in the near future they're going to bring in heaven.
I'm sure they've done that in some manga too, and I've forgotten it.
Probably. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
I could see that happening.
I don't
all
know.
In all, though,
this chapter
really
is just hilarious, so I don't care where they take it as long as it stays funny.
It was good. I am more than satisfied with this arc.
Yeah, it was so funny.
Like, most of the times with gag manga, you tend not... Like, there's highs and lows, and you remember the highs more often, but Beelzebub is consistently hilarious. Which makes it boring to talk about, probably, but...
Basically, every page has at least one really good joke on it.
The only time I can say it fell flat is this Goya joke that I don't get. But that's more because I don't live in Japan.
Do you think if you spoke
probably
Japanese...
a cultural thing that we just don't get.
Yeah.
You'd just be laughing your ass off if you actually understood it.
Maybe. It involves Furuichi, so there's a good chance. Because he is the best not-known character.
I almost wondered if the joke was, like, you know, the shape of it and the fact that Furuichi giving it to her.
I considered that, too.
That seemed a little lewd for...
It's a little too blue for Beelzebub.
Yeah.
Granted, this is a manga where... He was on top of her with his pants down.
Also, there's a naked baby every chapter.
That's true.
They're not afraid to go there.
All right, so any more thoughts on Beelzebub?
Were you going to say, speaking of naked babies, One Piece?
I wasn't, but we could just go straight to that.
You just paused like you were trying to think of a segue with that.
I was going to wrap up Beelzebub first.
I think we've pretty well covered it.
All right, so most important part of One Piece, first page.
Yep. Let's talk about the first page for a while, because it's pretty great.
So Bonclay is alive.
And running New Kama Land, which I totally guessed a couple weeks ago.
And we don't see his face, which is making me think that there's going to be some sort of permanent scar on him or something like that from the what he battled with Magellan, just
oh,
for
you
his
know,
natural
you know
face.
You know it's going to be one of those things that, like, it made him more beautiful or something.
Or made him look like Sanji. That would be great.
Now, the thing that I'm wondering about, and this is something which is going back, like, way back to one of the early interviews with Oda. Somebody asked about how, with all the pirates, we've never seen a person with an eye patch. And apparently there is one character in the entire series who's going to end up with an eye patch. So I'm constantly wondering who that's going to be.
Well, Zoro's missing an eye now.
Yes, but he doesn't have an eye patch.
Yeah, we've seen other characters missing eyes, but all of them just have their eyes closed. They very specifically do not have eye patches. I remember reading that too, and I'm sure, what, like, that person would have to be on the crew or something, right, if he's saving something that important?
I would guess.
Or a Blackbeard villain or something.
Yeah, like a, or, yeah, a huge villain or something like that.
Or Gold Roger, who's secretly alive.
That'll just be Luffy loses his eye or something like that.
And it's the eye without a scar. So he has an eye patch and then a scarred up eye.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. The fact that we don't see his face and so that something might have happened to him is what made me suddenly think of that.
Kind of wondering, though, could you give Mr. Two face damage? Because couldn't he just change his face?
Well, I mean, he could, but it could be just be that his natural face, because if you remember, like, he can't fight unless he's in his natural form or whatever
his
it is.
His default.
Yeah. So it's entirely possible that he's got some sort of scar.
So they fixed the mistranslation from last week, and instead of the 80 Cool Brothers, it's back to the Yeti Cool Brothers.
Which is a much better name.
Yes, and makes more sense considering they're apparently actual Yetis.
Yeah, they're covered in hair.
Or at least
and
that's
apparently
what Brownbeard
super
thinks.
Fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
and those are also apparently guns on their back. Like our first thought was.
So I guess they sniped out Sanji, Zoro, and Brook.
What gets me is there's no sign of a struggle. Like they just fell over. So, do you think sleeping gas or something?
Well, no. They said killed. I guess. I mean, with this chapter, it's always possible. Who knows? Maybe the like Tanuki guy made an illusion, so they think that they got them, but they actually didn't.
You're right. They do say like right off the bat, you killed them, and if you have a problem with us killing, you know, you shouldn't have called us. So yeah. Sanji, Nami, and Brook are probably not dead. I'm just gonna go out on a limb and say that.
I don't think they'd kill the three of the most important characters in one panel.
Yeah, off screen. No, I don't think they'd do that.
Well, he actually didn't use their names. He said something like the Thieving Cat, the Pirate Hunter, and the Soul King.
Yeah, that's their nicknames on their wanted posters, which they throw away after having killed them.
I'm betting, like, if it is an illusion from the samurai guy, he finds an actual, like, cat.
And then we get some exposition between...
So I didn't understand this conversation at all. Like, it apparently just flips between current times and when they first met.
Yeah, like, the background stuff is not entirely with the black panels. There's some other stuff which still takes place in the past. Even after the white panels. And one thing that I did notice was in the past, the Monet, she is either devil fruit to turn into a harpy or was transformed later on. Because if you look back, she's human.
Yeah. She doesn't have wings or the bird feet.
Yeah. I'm sure it's probably Law, given what else he's done.
And the other thing that I took away from this is that because Law was the one that approached him in the first place, that does mean that Caesar Clown does not have his crew.
Yeah.
So
I was
there's no bird on
that.
Law. So Law's got some angle here, because he specifically wanted to be on this island.
Yes.
That was the deal he made.
But he doesn't like Caesar Crown and appears to be trying to figure out a way to get rid of him.
I mean, is that the thing, is that he wants to take him out and the best way to do that is to get in with him?
Maybe, but I don't think he'd have any reason to take him out, though.
Did you guys notice that Caesar Clown's coat says gas on it?
Yeah, which I'm guessing is the fruit.
Yeah, he has the gas fruit. That made me laugh.
Okay, I'm going to make a new speculation as to what Law's endgame is, and this is going to the, he's going to be the tie-in to the whole, like, new era, old era pirate sort of thing. So I don't know if you guys had noticed or aware, but, you know how every pirate crew has a Jolly Roger?
Mm-hmm.
With
right.
the exception of people from North Blue, who all have the smiley face in theirs. With the exception of Doflamingo, who has the line through it, and all of his subordinates have the line through that smiley face thing. So I'm thinking that that Joker is Doflamingo, and the entire becoming a Shishibukai and all that sort of stuff is Law attempting to get to him to take him out for something that happened in North Blue.
I could see that, because he seems to know about Joker, who is obviously Doflamingo. I mean, who else is it going to be?
Buggy.
That would make way much more thematic sense, but... Do you really think Buggy could possibly be involved with any kind of plan without screwing it up?
I could see Doflamingo like pinning everything on Buggy.
That would be pretty great. It's like, why would I be named Joker? That guy's a clown.
So my favorite part of this issue is Nami threatening to extort information out of Blackbeard by using Frankie's laser.
Oh, Brown Beard. Yeah, by just going
yeah,
beam.
Brown Beard. Yeah.
Just like saying beam at him.
And Chopper was very annoyed that she would disrespect the beam.
Okay, my favorite joke in this chapter is Brownbeard saying he doesn't know anything and then talking for like 2 pages about every detail, like where they grew up, how old they are, what their names are, what they sound like, what they look like.
And the long and short
of
it is
he's never seen their faces.
They're Yeti gunmen.
Yes. They're hairy giants with guns.
And even though actually having looked at the katakana of it, it's not going to be this. I really wish that instead of Rock and Scotch, their names were Lock and Stock. So it's Lock, Stock, and 2 Smoking Barrels.
Yeah, see, I would have thought it was Stock, too.
Yeah.
It's totally Scotch.
Yeah.
And so they arrive, and Brownbeard is under the assumption they're there to rescue him. But they've been given the order to kill him as well.
Which they apparently do in this chapter. Like, it cuts away and there's a big bang, so...
Yeah, like, right from his head, and everyone reacts ghoulishly.
You made such terrible friends. And then Luffy runs back, dodges the bullet, and tries to attack, and he just kind of disappears.
You think these guys have a devil fruit, or are they just really skilled?
Well, they'd have to have the same devil fruit if they're doing the same thing.
Yeah, I'm going to go with really skilled, just because it's more interesting to not have the devil fruit as a crutch sort of thing.
Also, apparently they kidnapped Nami at some point.
Well, they blasted Luffy away, and by the time he got up, they were gone.
And they have Nami in Frankie's body because he has, you know, Vegapunk tech, and that would be of interest, too.
Which, this isn't something you would know if you're only reading the manga, right? That Frankie has Vegapunk tech?
They alluded to it before.
And they've mentioned, I mean, like, they in the cover stuff, they specifically said, yes, it's Vegapunk's laboratory. And then I think he's talked about it a little bit since the time skip, too.
Okay, because the only reason I know it is because I watched the Expanded Universe episodes.
Yeah, they do show Vegapunk's lab in the cover story. And you're led to believe that's where he rebuilt himself.
For some reason, I seem to think that there was at least like a panel where he said he was in Vegapunk's lab or something like that.
Well, he's approaching a house, and I think it said Vegapunk on it. So.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm saying like after the crew meets up when they're talking.
Oh,
about
Yes, at some point he mentioned something about it. I can't remember the context, but
yeah.
I know it was mentioned. So the ending of this is that Law's guards are trying to stop, or Caesar's guards are trying to stop Law, and he just cuts them into pieces and says he's free to go wherever he wants. So it seems like he's making his move.
He's going rogue.
Well, he's at the research facility back door.
Oh, is that what that is? The big, oh, yeah, the back entrance of the lab. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's heading into, like, the air shaft or something?
I guess he's sneaking in somewhere to get information, or I don't even know what Law's motivations could possibly be at this point. Because I was sure
No. I think his motivations for what he's doing right now is, judging from his reaction when Caesar Clown was talking about how he drugged the children, I think he is going to go heal the children somehow.
But the children that he knows aren't there. I mean, there's nobody left in the...
True.
He saw them escape.
Maybe he's going to get a sample of the drug to be able to do so. I don't know.
I still think that there's somebody else. I think there's somebody else that's in captivity by Caesar that he wants to free because of what he said to Luffy. They both have people they're looking for.
It does beg the question of what actually is up with Law's crew.
I mean, is there a chance that one of his crew is among the people that we saw frozen?
Maybe.
My theory is that, like...
Those were all people who escaped from Impel Down, though.
Yeah.
If he's not making the deal with Caesar because Caesar is blackmailing him, then maybe somebody else has Law's crew. And he figures it's the only way that he can get to them.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they were
Law was pretty tight with his crew.
He was very protective of his crew.
And it was also something that was very, like, heavily described, if you will. Like his crew was unique. They were not.
They were well defined.
Token
just
characters.
If you asked me who the fortune teller guy's crew was, I'd have no idea. But Law's, you know.
Yeah, name like two people on Law's crew. You can probably do that. That's
Beppo
more you can say.
And somebody.
The giant guy, I guess.
Yeah I don't know his name, but I can remember. And then like the only other crew member that I can remember from any of the other ones is basically like Killer, who was, you know, one of the supernovas himself, which is part of.
Yeah, he fought a pacifista at one point.
Yeah.
He fought him along with the others.
Yeah.
Yeah. With Eustace Kidd. He's Kid Zorro, basically.
Yes.
His first mate.
And then, I remember the Mafia guys just because they had that theme.
Where they were controlled by, like, tiny people?
Yes.
Yeah.
God, that's weird. I forgot about that guy.
Who's supposed to be, like, Al Capone.
Except, like, he's a giant clockwork person or something.
Clockwork robot. Wait.
So, next chapter is stuff going to go down? I kind of thought this would be the chapter, but...
I mean, this is a setup for something.
Well, I mean, there was stuff that went down in this chapter. It's just that it was not, you know, an even fight. It was just kind of like a you know, snatch and grab.
So Luffy's obviously going to go try and rescue Nami. So we got the Yeti Brothers is kind of temporary motivational bad guys. You know, a goal to go towards for Luffy. Because up till now, it's just kind of been aimless wandering in the snow.
For the most part, yeah.
Now there's, like, direct motivation for him to go do something.
So I assume they took Nami...
and to get their ship back and that sort of stuff.
I assume they took Nami to the research facility.
That would be a safe assumption.
So Luffy and Law are probably going to meet up there somehow.
I wonder if, you know, Luffy and Law can get alone time if... excuse me. If Law lets him... lets him in on what he knows.
That's possible. I mean, they seem like they're still talking, and Law could probably use his help.
And Law is weirdly enamored with Luffy.
He saved him at Marineford.
Weirdly enamored with Luffy.
But yeah, not much. I mean, stuff happened, but nothing we can really talk about beyond they're going to fix this at some point. Arc, like, size-wise, how long was most of the previous arcs? Because they were about, I want to say, 75 to 80 chapters each.
Major ones were. Some of the other ones were shorter.
Yeah, I mean, we're only on chapter 660, so, you know, if they're all 80, there's...
Yeah.
There have been a dozen arcs or so? It'd have to be less than that.
Well, I'm sure this depends on
how you divide them up.
This is probably a major arc.
Yeah, definitely. This is their first Red Line Island. It's not just going to be...
So we're probably nowhere near any
resolution. I think that we are... what I think this is going to end up being is that this is basically the little island of the Doflamingo saga, if you will.
Yeah, I could see Doflamingo, especially if he's Joker, you know, they're hinting at it, if he's basically the crocodile of this arc.
Yeah.
I'm still a little
annoyed
that they,
and
like...
you know how Little Island was kind of like it wasn't the start, I guess Whiskey Town was.
Yeah, beyond that, like, Little Island had kind of the same thing of just, like, stopping in to check it out, and all of a sudden, you know, there's plot development.
Shit goes down.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the thing that we're forgetting about is when are we going to run into Big Mom?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking just now, that they bothered to introduce her, and then just kind of dropped it.
Yeah, Luffy didn't... After that declaration of... wanting to take Fishman Island for his turf, he kind of forgot about it immediately.
Well, that makes sense.
Luffy.
Yeah. I'm sure that was just a seed being laid for later.
It was a very large and direct seed.
Yeah, but it's a very strong person that now wants to kill Luffy waiting in this new area that they're going to.
Yes.
So.
It wouldn't surprise me if she would try to meet up with him at some of these islands, if not this one.
So you think she's just going to crash the party kind of the way that Kuma did at the end of Thriller Bark?
Or she arrives late after everyone's gone.
Do you think it'll be like a couple panel thing of like just letting you know that she's chasing Luffy.
Mm-hmm. Or she went to the other island. Because, I mean, they've not made much about the fact that there were two island choices.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me. Didn't Law say that this island could not be found by a log pose?
Yeah.
And didn't a log pose take them to this island?
No. So... They remember how they took that one current underwater? They just happened to emerge there close enough that they could see it, which is the way that they went there.
Okay. I thought it was one of the three islands that...
The most dangerous of the three islands that got pointed to is the lightning one.
The Raijin Island.
Yeah, and this one's not pointed to by anything. It's just that they happen to surface close enough to it that they could get there without a log pose.
Okay, I was thinking that was just like a weird little plot hole, but I guess I just was remembering wrong.
So, any more thoughts on One Piece before we wrap this up?
Nah,
just, you know, it was a linking chapter. It's just continuing with the story, but there's not a whole lot else to say.
There was some good stuff to happen, like Brownbeard being offed and the introduction of the Yeti brothers. So it's going good places.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a bad chapter by any stretch.
So this week's Naruto was kind of boring. So I want to talk more about that super dumb plan from last week.
It was just a big no. Like,
after last week and the week before, I just kind of have, you know, zero empathy for the character, so I just couldn't bring myself to care about any of this fight.
Well, I mean, at least the flashbacks are over, and we actually start getting into the fight between Kabuto and Itachi. Yeah.
So is this thing where he's, like, pushing old sound ninjas out of him, like, is that symbolic, or is it actually happening?
I think it's actually happening, because then Sakon turns into Jirobo. There's that weird transition between the two of them.
Yeah, and they have the different abilities. And actually, I'm going to interject with something that happens in the Naruto chapter but has absolutely nothing to do with Naruto. On page 3, what the heck is there a reference to Standers for? I can't read anything other than the title of the thing, but there's apparently something still happening with this. What?
I think it's saying the fourth volume is going on sale, from what I can...
Yeah, it had enough chapters to make 4 volumes?
Maybe. Also, like, spoilers for what the aliens look like, apparently.
Well, it probably was in the other chapters, which
haven't
been scanlated yet. But
right.
Anyway, yeah. I saw that, and I'm like, wait a second. I thought that this was done.
Ghost of Standers continues to haunt us.
Yes.
So, Kabuto uses the sound for... to make things.
Yeah, plus Kimimaro.
Well, he uses him to make spikes and then has him make a bone flute, which...
Well, but I mean...
Yeah.
4 plus 1, you know.
Yeah.
5.
And then he has Tayuya play the flute in, like, the creepiest possible pose I've ever seen.
What, like, creepy naked Tayuya while he... Like...
holds her head with a kunai in his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think he freebased all of them, too?
Probably.
Ground them up, just right into his veins. So this goes back to something I've said before. Never be a strong ninja, because people are going to do messed up things to you once you're dead.
Well, then he crucifies everybody, which...
Yep, with snakes.
Well, in their heads, kind of...
Yeah, it's a genjutsu.
Yeah. And then he makes... creepy snake Orochimaru.
So you know what that creepy snake Orochimaru reminds me of? Did you guys ever have those Jurassic Park toys when you were a kid?
Nope.
No. What do you think? It's like dino damage or something?
It looks like that. Those like ones where you'd like pull the legs and their mouths would open. Those
I'm not
plastic
sure what
things. Yeah. Oh.
I had like every Ghostbusters toy imaginable, and I had some Dino Riders stuff, but I never had any Jurassic Park.
I think I had like a T-Rex, because I remember like the weird plasticky feel of the skin, because it was like they actually skinned it for some reason.
He produces Orochimaru and it looks creepy as shit.
Yep. Like as if that tail coming out of his stomach was not bad enough, now there's things coming out of the tail coming out of his stomach.
and because they're paralyzed, it goes to try and eat Sasuke so he can absorb him.
Then that fails. They cut off the head, and then Kabuto's actually inside of it, and he cuts Itachi in half.
Yep. And he just wanted to be himself.
But I mean, that doesn't do anything to Itachi, right?
No, well, he should reform.
Well, maybe, or he's just going to be in two pieces. I'm not going to be surprised if they throw out zombie conventions that they've already established.
Kabuto has magic snake powers to stop that.
Yeah.
Or because he's the person who summoned them, he's the only person who can actually kill them or something.
Did you guys have the reaction to this chapter when Sasuke asked about Izanagi? Of going like, oh yeah, they were going to do a big attack. That's right.
And yet.
Itachi like declared that he was going to use that like 10 chapters ago. Well, not that many, but...
a while back, before Big Nose Kabuto.
Is Kabuto crying as he kills Itachi? I just noticed that.
There's a tear there, isn't there?
Yeah, coming out of both eyes. Ugh. This really made me hate Kabuto.
Well, everything about the character got worse in the last 3 weeks.
Yep. And,
This goes beyond daddy issues. He's just turned into, like, a sad child.
You know what would be
like,
great?
Before he was just a blank slate, and I was thinking, wow, this would have been so much better if Orochimaru was the person here. And now I'm just kind of like, yeah.
If this fight didn't exist, then I would be okay with that.
Yep. Pretty much.
You know, I just noticed in this chapter, before he gets killed, quote unquote, Itachi says, "I will enter Izanami now. You failed," and then he does nothing after that. So, I wonder if this is all.
So this entire thing is actually a genjutsu where Itachi was not cut in half.
I would love it if the chapter starts with like Itachi being dead, and then Sasuke dies, and Kabuto goes, "Okay, I guess I can end the Edo Tensai now." then it cuts back to him just like comatose on the ground while Itachi watches him.
Well, my hope is that Edo Tensei is not stoppable, but that it can be killed with Snake Sage mode, because then Sasuke will get it and
I'm
then
not
save
gonna,
the day.
Not gonna let you keep pushing that. You have to stop.
Every new week I will have a new theory of how he gets it. Just freebase Kabuto.
Just, like, cut him up with a razor blade and wrap up a dollar bill and just snort him. Turn into a snake sage.
So why is the inside of Itachi paper mache?
It's because that's the zombie thing. They're all, like, made of that flaky stuff.
So
all the other zombies have been like that.
Corpses? They're just, you know...
I think they're, like, made up of, like, scrolls and notes and stuff.
Okay.
I don't actually know what they're made up of. I just know that that's something that's been the case with every single one of the zombies.
Yeah, just it. Well, yeah, because they start to flake when they're dying, like Itachi's doing in that last panel. Like their face starts cracking and.
So
ninja magic.
The page before Itachi gets cut up, he seems to actually be doing something, and then stops.
Well, they used whatever those things are called to kill the Orochimaru.
Amaterasu? The
no,
Black Fire?
No. The Susanoo.
Yeah, Susanoo.
Ah, yeah.
They use that. Yeah, they use those to escape the... Well, actually,
to
escape the
block
Genjutsu.
Block it from biting him.
I loved how they escaped the Genjutsu. Just like, Sasuke, let's look at each other. And they, like, each broke each other's Genjutsu somehow.
Well, he's also somebody that planted a crow in Naruto that broke a Genjutsu on him.
Yeah, they're really good at that.
I kind of wish that, like, they never explained that crow. If it just went unexplained forever.
Just, it went inside Naruto and was just never mentioned again.
Yep.
In any capacity.
When he died, just a crow flies out.
Cause
it turns out, Itachi was the crow all along.
For a manga that's called Naruto, it hasn't been about him in a long time.
Just since we switched over to this fight.
It's been about 20 chapters, looking at this now.
Of just this fight?
No, since we've seen Naruto.
Oh.
That's usually how this rolls, though.
Yeah.
Then when we get back to him, we'll get back to him for a while.
Yeah, and that's going to be, you know, the final climax and all that sort of stuff.
Was the Madara
Until
fight over?
Until the Sasuke-Naruto fight. No, it's not. They were just about to finally start fighting Tobi.
No, or I mean the Madara fight.
That got to kind of a standstill point where they just had to fight clones. So I think that will end when the Edo Tensei ends or gets disabled or something. they basically got as far against Madara as they possibly could.
Which, as we established last week, is that Toby is Big Nose Kabuto.
God. Such a dumb plan.
So why is Kabuto holding an exploding kunai?
I don't know. It makes him look cool. Feels like a big man.
Like they pointed out occasionally.
Is that one that he caught that got thrown at him or something at some point?
No, he's been holding it for a little while, and he calls it his chest piece at one point.
See, I'm going back.
Where does he call it his chest piece?
First page. Or he says, my chest piece is my own power, but it focuses on the kunai.
Hmm.
And then he starts producing sound ninjas. Which, okay, so page 4, the middle left panel, is just the most disturbing looking thing. Where he's like mounting Jirobu.
Oh, yes, that one. No, a big fat guy coming out of his stomach just looks weird no matter what you're doing.
This is such a weird way to bring the sound ninjas back.
Like, couldn't he have just used their attacks?
And cut it out?
Yeah, just say, like, Sakon style, you know.
Or had Sasuke remember, hey, like, that guy that I knew once.
Just like, a quick flash of, like, oh, that's his attack.
To be fair, how many years has it been since we've seen them?
I remember the sound for.
I remember them,
well,
too, but I'm just saying that, you know.
Yeah. I was hoping that he'd have the original sound ninjas for some reason. From the Chunin exam, just...
They might be inside
him. Call way back.
You never know. He may have been freebasing ninjas for a long time.
Yeah. But yeah, the only reason that I can think of that it would be focusing on that kunai when he's talking about, you know, my pawns are my power plan, so it would be that it's somehow related to the resurrection thing.
Is that his, like, what are those called? Kill switches? You know, like, if they knock him out, it's going to explode and kill him and make sure that the Edo Tensai doesn't end. Is that like his insurance?
Maybe.
He's basically strapped a bomb to himself by holding an exploding kunai.
They never actually said this, though, and Naruto's usually not one for subtlety.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. It's weird now that you point it out.
Because he's holding it in pretty much every thing. He doesn't use it to hurt Itachi. He just slashes right through him. And looking at it, he's not holding it when he hits Itachi. So now I'm just confused.
Yeah. Maybe it'll be something explained next chapter. However, I would like to point out one thing. We're talking about Naruto last because it was the highest voted thing last week.
Because people of Big Nose Kabuto.
Yeah. Sensational character find of 2012.
The best Naruto character introduced in years.
I'm already writing my fanfic about him.
Honestly,
hey,
if they did make him like the
villain... 2-1, we said none of that.
if they did make him like Toby, I don't think I would actually mind, because it would just be so absurd. But it would have to be amazing.
So which would you prefer Toby to be, him or future Sasuke?
Him.
What?
Big Nose,
okay,
Sasuke.
What if?
Or Big Nose
Kabuto. What if Big Nose Kabuto is future Sasuke?
I don't know. They don't look much alike.
Sasuke could dye his hair. Get a bigger nose.
Oh,
I
see what the kunai's for. I had to go back a few chapters. That is not an exploding kunai. It's one to kind of like rewire how Itachi works. You know, like when he's got to take like better control of the zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he talks about how he's gonna, like, change Itachi to work for him again.
So when he cuts him in half, you might be hitting him with that?
Yeah, he protected you with Susanoo, but that made him slower. I'm not going to hurt you, though, you're my guinea pig. Now I'll just overwrite his mind. You know what happens, don't you? So, he's trying to turn Itachi against Sasuke with it.
Which he may have just succeeded in doing.
Who knows? But that was right before the flashback started.
Okay.
So that's why we don't remember it.
Yep, had slightly overlooked that.
Well, everything before Big Nose Kabuto is just entirely separate era in Naruto history.
Yeah, it's like AD and BC. It's like before Big Nose Kabuto and after Big Nose Kabuto.
Still the dumbest plan.
So you get a kid that kind of looks like somebody, and then you just like send pictures of them to a nun for some reason.
See, it turns out that it wasn't actually the kid. Those were actually Danzo. He transformed himself just for the photography.
He mastered a shape-shifting jutsu to... But he was really bad at it. Like, he was actually trying to look just like Kabuto.
Wouldn't this plan have completely failed if Kabuto didn't kill her immediately?
Yeah, pretty much.
Or if he managed to heal her. Because being a medical ninja, that's something he could do.
Why not just have Orochimaru kill both of them? Why do you need, like, the ironic twist?
Because he's evil.
Yeah, does he get off on the irony or something? Like, oh, these two people that love each other are going to kill each other. I'm so evil. Yeah.
For all the evil Orochimaru is, at least he did not freebase other ninjas into him.
That we know of.
He really took them over.
Hey, well, no, he started the process.
He had the juicer.
Didn't they show that beaker with the blood dripping back when,
Yeah.
So.
Oh, the stupidest plans. All of them. They're all stupid.
So anyway, how do you think this fight's gonna end?
Oh, I don't know. I'm hoping it's the thing where Itachi has already caught Kabuto in something. Because that's always the funniest resolution to these kind of fights.
I'm betting he turned Itachi against Sasuke, and Sasuke is going to be forced to destroy him in a way that ends the Ito Tensei, but also he gets no questions answered.
Like stabbing through Itachi into Kabuto or something?
Something like that, I don't know. I assume it's going to evolve a way that makes Sasuke look amazing.
Which I wouldn't mind, because Sasuke hasn't really been doing much.
He's been standing around. That's a thing.
He has been slightly more sane than usual.
Or we could switch. Yeah. We had the theory about Sasuke switching sides to join Kabuto and then ending the Ito Tensei somehow. They could do it with Itachi. Just him pretending that he's
pretending
been taken over.
Yeah, because like, his genjutsu could be stronger than Itachi's thing.
Or he had a raven in somebody.
Yes. He's been planting crows for years.
Half of Konoha has crows inside them.
The final battle comes, and all of these crows just shoot out of everybody's throats and
form
a cloud in the sky.
Itachi tries to summon the crow out of Kabuto, but then he's like, shit, it's the other guy! The one with the big nose! That's who I put it in.
It just shows, like, Big Nose Kabuto eating at a ramen bar and coughing up a crow, and everyone just staring at him. And then, like, another person down goes, check, please!
That would be great.
There's our Big Nose Kabuto fanfic.
Quote the Raven. That's what we're going to title it. All right,
okay,
there may or may not be a jump cast next week. I'm going on vacation, so it's up to these guys what they want to do.
See if we can figure out how to actually
do the editing and that sort of stuff.
I will attempt to make one, and I've never produced any kind of podcast before, so...
It's easy once you get the hang of it. So
the obvious solution is we need to have Squiz as a special guest, even though he doesn't read any of the stuff.
with our luck, he's going to be having a baby at that time. So
he'll just keep doing the SakuraCon commercial.
He'll just say Garuga Mesh like every 15 20 minutes.
And Tonga! Alright, so Greg, Mike, thank you for coming.
Yep. Thank you.
We will see you guys eventually.
The dumbest plan. 'Cause I found out like when McDonald's are serving breakfast, they won't serve you lunch stuff. I didn't realize they were mutually exclusive.
Different equipment, I think.
Bullshit, though. Me and Eyes were there like 5 minutes before 11, and they wouldn't serve us food.
Could you just wait 5 minutes?
No. We were heading out to SakuraCon, so we had to get going.
No part of that story wasn't sad.
That really is like the most pathetic thing.
McDonald's wouldn't give us lunch, so we could be wrong with the anime.
There's our kicker, right? Already.
We were late for our anime convention, so I had to get apple pies instead of chicken McNuggets.